Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
7:15, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Going to be another hot day today, and you heard the weather forecast. Maybe, I think he said, by Saturday or Sunday, and I liked his choice of words, we would be lucky and it would rain. Because normally it's, you know, let's hope it doesn't rain so we can go outside. This has been the hottest and driest September on record. 309-1053 if you want to get involved in the conversation. It's better to text it, though, to 87870 because you don't have to hang on hold and I can work it into the conversation. And everybody's happy, including Peter Scharf, adjunct professor at LSU Health New Orleans School of Public Health and a criminologist. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tommy.
A couple of people sent me some emails about the crime in the city, and one of them I thought was pretty good, and that is there any indication that the crime goes from one neighborhood to the other and they find a place with easy pickings? I don't know if that would go then to a network of criminals or the same people moving over and over and over again.
Yeah, you know, that is a great question. Thank your listener. You know, the reality is that it's easier to displace crime than to prevent it. You know, so what happens is, and there are a couple of types of displacement. One is geographic displacement. So you're in one neighborhood and you harden that neighborhood, you patrol that neighborhood, and it moves somewhere else. And it can move across parish lines, for example, as well. You know, the other types are time displacement. So you may move to a different time if they're patrolling intensively in one area. But that is absolutely the truth. And I've followed neighborhoods since the hurricanes. Mm-hmm. Since the hurricane, there have been, you know, major displacements in terms of violent gun crime trends. The other big enemy or in crime control are the real estate agents. Right. So gentrification. So a neighborhood, let's say, has a stable working class population, and then the realtors discover it. Right. And suddenly the people who are living there become Section 8 dwellers, you know, and renters of different kinds.
Oh, wait, so let me jump in right here, because as soon as people, Peter, hear Section 8, they equate that with crime. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying I know a lot of people right now that are listening are doing that. Is that inaccurate?
No, it's a stereotype, and you can't overgeneralize. But what we know is stable neighborhoods are the best insulator against crime. So home ownership, you know, is one form of stability, and this is one of the few things we know in criminology. You know, and when you displace people, and it can be for all kinds of reasons, you know, the neighbors get displaced. They don't know their neighbors. They're not watching the kids. All kinds of things happen. Very few of them good. So it's not just Section 8, which is a very important program. But the reality is you can move from stable ownership in their neighborhoods in the city that, you know, had stable ownership for years, and suddenly that's become a rarity. And gentrification, you know, the Spike Lee had this comment that gentrification is bad for a crime. And there really is that argument, you know, that as the city becomes gentrified, middle-class people, it becomes the touristic destination and the young college graduate destination, that you actually are destabilizing neighborhoods. So those are some of the dynamics, I think, behind the perceptive question by your listener.
So if that's the case, is it predictable at all in terms of either where they're going next or where they are now? So if you're in this neighborhood, and I guess neighborhood watch programs might address that, or I don't know, how would you be able to pin it down, or could you, Peter, to, if you're in this neighborhood, you better pay attention because they're here, or it's likely due to patterns that are liable to go from here to there to there. Is it that traceable?
Well, I think community activism is very important. There's a book, Bowling Alone, where, you know, the strip mall is a danger in a way. The strip mall society, and you know, the idea of community, collective. There's a phrase out of Chicago, one of the effective crime prevention programs. They call it collective efficacy, where the neighborhood takes control and said, we're not going to tolerate crime. And this cuts across all cultural lines. There's a Dick Gregory, you remember Dick Gregory,
right,
very
comedian.
Important guy. Well, but also a crime activist.
Right.
He took over in St. Louis, took over a park and kicked the drug dealers out. You know, they literally, you know, everybody's black, and they took the neighborhood over and said, we're not going to tolerate you dealing crack in our neighborhood. And I think that, you know, and that's, you know, a little more adventurous than most people want to be.
Yeah, we got to take a break here, but when we pick it up, Peter, I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
No,
but maybe we're not talking about crack dealing, right? Something like that, but just, you know, people shaking door handles in one particular neighborhood, or burglaries, watching when people are or aren't home. How would you determine, I mean, before it's too late, what neighborhoods it's happening in, right? And is there a regular cycle of this? I hate to say it, but almost where, okay, we do the route, then by the time we're over, we start all over again. Peter Scharf, our guest, adjunct professor at LSU Health New Orleans School of Public Health, a criminologist. If you have any comments, text them to 87870, please, and I'll pass them along. 722, traffic now at WWL. 727, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Peter Scharf, adjunct professor at LSU Health New Orleans School of Public Health and a criminologist. Peter, so before we went to the break, you were talking about Dick Gregory, Chicago, running crack dealers out. And I don't know if that's what people are worried about in New Orleans as much as, or at least from the calls and texts I'm getting, as their neighborhood being in the crosshairs of door handle shakers and doorknob rattlers to see who's home and who isn't, and those kind of things.
Well, you know, you asked a great question, which is, you know, what are the warning signs of a neighborhood? And there's a great book, Wes Scogan wrote it out of Northwestern, called Disorder and Decline. And this is part of the broken windows theory of crime. When you see graffiti, when you see open-air drug dealing, when you see prostitution, when you see guys hanging around in the middle of the day, that's a sign, graffiti. And there really is some very, what broken windows theory does, and this was Drew Lonnie's initiative in New York, is you focus on visible misdemeanors and the symbols of disorder, rather than serious felons, and kind of on the same page as you are, you know, when you do that, a sense of pride occurs. Middle-class families of all races will move back in the neighborhood. They'll risk starting a business. Suddenly there are more people watching and reporting crime. Kids are going to school in the neighborhood. And this is a fascinating process. I got a letter from a police chief in Newark in the 80s, and he said Bohemians moving into Newark, which was right after the riot or soon after the riot, and you get these urban pioneers who move into these neighborhoods and rebuild it. And the truth is, the police are only a small part of crime fighting. And that's one thing I really like about the new initiative, is it's not only the police's job, it's a community's job. The other thing is, it's easier to save neighborhoods than to save individuals. You know, we focus too much on psych 101 treatments. You know, what
really
need to do is stay. Yeah, we need to focused, just as you're suggesting, on a neighborhood level. You know, how do you stabilize a neighborhood, get people to move in, get people to go to school, get people working?
All right, we'll take a break, pick it up here, we come back. If you have any questions about crime in New Orleans or comments, text them in 870-870, especially if you've been a victim of it. When we come back, you know, people are texting in saying, we hear about crime in 2019. How does it really compare to 2018? And is it really fair to say that it's down? And I guess the question is it subjective or objective? Do we hear about it today and we're going through it today, so we think it's worse than it was before? Or do objective statistics prove the other thing? More when we return, 7:30, time now, WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. When it comes to me, there isn't enough electricity.
Well, I wasn't going to go there.
Did you? Well, I don't care. I mean, what do you do? It's my fault I lost my hair?
Yeah, I don't understand that. You know, people are, oh, well, you're bald. Well, I didn't, you know, it's nothing I did.
You're short, you're tall, you're this, you're that. Well, yeah,
tell me what you did
to accomplish that. I'd like to know. What did you do to keep your hair? Really, tell me, because I'd like to have mine.
Well, maybe they plugged their head into the wall socket. I don't know.
What they did was they were born with different DNA. That's it. And how people take pride in that, I don't understand. It's like, okay, well, what did you do to accomplish this? Now, if you graduate magna cum laude or something like that, well, yeah, you worked hard to get it. Or if you, you know, work yourself up from the bottom to the top because of all of your hard work, I understand that. That's something to be proud of. Or if you rescue a school bus full of kids, there you go. That's something to be proud of.
As long as you didn't cause the problem in the first place, but just having, to rescue them.
Yeah, having hair to comb, I don't see where that's something
so
to
you won't be shocking your
about.
Hair, your head back into
no,
follicle
I could care less
production.
Whether I have hair or not. All right, we'll take a break. 7:39, 21 before 8 when we come back. More with Peter Scharf about crime in the city. If you have any questions, give me a text at 870-870. Tommy Tucker, WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.